Because one thing is very clear. Children that are not allowed to do things will be parents that are not capable of doing things. Humans are born innately with conscience. To not steal, to not harm anyone, that's all innately. Only their upbringing brings them to a point where they forget that. By metaphorically hitting the children with my worries, that is really psychological terror that parents do on their children.
Welcome to the Voices of the One Mind, where the elixir of wisdom flows freely. Join us as we dive into the profound thoughts of extraordinary human beings who embody wisdom, offering insights that serve as a bridge to awakening. Unshackling minds from the chains of suffering, our conversations pave the way for enhanced health, enriched lives, and exponential spiritual growth. Get ready to sip on the nectar of the One Mind with us.
In today's episode, we are diving into a topic that resonates with many of us. Why do parents worry so much about their children? We will explore what worrying truly means in the context of parenting and where these concerns originate. Are they a natural instinct, a reflection of personal experiences, or shaped by societal expectations? We will also examine how parents' backgrounds and upbringings influence their anxieties and elaborate on the unconscious impact these worries can have on their children's shoulders. Join us as we unpack the sources of parental concern and consider ways to foster a more mindful approach. Here with me is Bear. Happy to have you here again.
Thank you very much for inviting me, for having this conversation with you today. I'm very grateful.
Yeah, so today we would like to elaborate a bit more about worrying in general, but also with a focus on parents and where this worrying comes from. I see that in many, many situations and happening for maybe 99.2% in nowadays society. How can you define worrying as a concept and where this originates?
Well, first of all, when you asked me to have this conversation, I was immediately with a big yes, because it's literally the topic of my own upbringing, the worrying of my late mother. And so coming to your question, well, there is definitely two answers. And both answers, as much as the first one might sound funny, but it's very profound and very deep. So first of all, worrying is nothing else than praying for what you don't want to have in your life. So you're practically reversing the logic. You are asking and begging to get something that deeply inside of you is exactly the opposite. You want to avoid that, but by worrying, you will create a field, and we can get into that a little deeper later, that enables the manifestation of exactly what you don't want to have as an outcome. And the second aspect of it is, what is worrying and where does worrying come from? Worrying comes from people that are fearful, that are worrying themselves through life, that see problems all over the place, that see obstacles everywhere. People that, generally speaking, don't think that much in solutions, but more in problems, right? And that creates an environment that is constantly alert on something can happen.
can one break that pattern and switch to a more positive approach? How these type of patterns are happening?
Well, very simple. And now we are going into the situation of the parent, as we are talking about worrying about kids. We are going into the situation, the parent, when the parent was a child. What? And that's a red thread, and there is no left or right, a millimeter. It's exactly following that red thread with all the parents who are worrying for their children. Is just look back, their parents, and mostly it's the mother, mostly, not only, but mostly, have already been worrying about them. So this really is something like an inheriting process that you bring down in your family line. And what happens? If the grandmother, so the mother of the mother, constantly said, hey, be mindful about that, don't do this, don't go there, call me when you're there, dum-dum-dum-dum-dum, what that creates in you? It creates in you an insecurity. And what happens when people are insecure? Then something is going to happen. If people are insecure, mistakes are happening. Let's call them mistakes, but occurrences are happening that are not very beneficial, right? If you are nervous, each one of our audience for sure can relate to that. If it's not your best day, you're walking on the street or you're driving a car, you will see you have insecurities, right? Things are falling down. You might have days where constantly things are falling down. That is when you are not completely yourself, when you're not in the center, because you are nervous, you're worried. And exactly this pattern is then handed down, and again it goes on over family lines.
Is this coming from a natural instinct for most of the mothers?
Well, I would say, so the answer definitely is no. However, there is a natural instinct of motherhood, and that's caring, right? It can also be the father. It's not only related to the mother. I might mostly speak about the mother today, and please forgive me, because I relate to it very much from my own upbringing. And in my case, the father was completely untouched by these things. He was never worrying, while my mother was constantly worrying. So I'm very well aware that it's also parents, like both parents, can be affected from that. Yes, you can obviously break that pattern. So yes, as I said before, there is a natural instinct to it, but that natural instinct is not the worrying. And then in the perceptual thought, in the human mind, it gets mixed up. What is the natural instinct? The natural instinct is the caring. So it's very natural for parents, for a mother, for a father to care for the children and to protect the children and to wanting the best for the children. It's very normal. So, however, when that then is loaded up or sparked up with an energy of worrying thoughts that come from a fearful life approach, that whole thing gets into a energy that is definitely not benevolent for the children. Because what happens? As I just said before, it's handed down in a family line, and obviously also one work in life is to break such things, like, you know, to become aware. And then to break that and then not hand it on to your children. And you subconsciously hand that on, right? If I think back, for example, my mother would constantly tell me, don't do this, don't do that. You have to do things like this. You have to, if you go there, call me. If you go to a friend, what's the telephone number of the mother? Dum, dum, dum. Constantly she was in a worrying, and it made me completely nervous. Nervous in a sense not nervous that I would fear. Fortunately, even when I was already a boy, I was a strong, I had my own ideas. It is more, it made me literally angry or sometimes even aggressive, this kind of behavior, which I when I was a child, I could not really know how to deal with it. And obviously I would not always deal in the nicest way with my mother when she was like this. But it can be stressful if you have a parent that is constantly sitting on your shoulders, controlling you. Because that's also part of the worrying, is obviously the controlling, right? And if you come into that awareness as a child, that your parent is controlling you for that very reason, it's not a pleasant feeling, because you feel that you are in a cage in a way. You cannot express yourself. And then what happens? You start to do things behind the back of your parents. And I'm just talking about myself here, but I know it relates to so over 90% of humanity. And what happens then? You are not truthful anymore to your parents. Not necessarily you lie, but you don't tell them everything or most of the things. And if I look to my life, I always enjoyed life. And if I would have lived the life of my mother that she wanted to oppose on me, I would have not had that joyful life. I just took that joyful life for me. Parents do, if they are not aware and if they are not partly awake, what they do is they project their own life issues and their own life topics and their own life, I don't want to use the word problems, but you know what I mean, shortcomings and all these kind of things, they subconsciously project that to their children. And that is exactly when children are 7, 8, 9 years old, and they literally, by that time already, have been robbed of their innate urge for freedom, innate urge for speaking out and saying what they are thinking. But that has already been so much diminished. And it's not just the parents, of course, what diminishes it, it's also the society, the school, the kindergarten. However, the closest circle and the most intimate circle is the family at home. That's where the children take most of it, right? That's, I would say 75% of the forming, of the deforming, let's be clear about that word, of the deforming of children comes from the family. Comes from the family because there is, of course, a societal deforming. For example, family can say we don't allow our children to play with tablets and do online games and all these kind of things. There is a societal pressure when the kids meet other kids that is there. At the end of the day, if the parents are awake, if the parents are spiritually intelligent, they can very nicely ponder and maneuver these situations. And it is hard, and it is hard. It's a real work. And I know very many families that have never given up on doing such an intense work with the children, because really it is a work. But only if you think you need to. See, the thing is with children is if you try to upbring them, it is literally like you pull on a flower. It's upbringing. You cannot pull on the flower, because what happens? You pull out the root, the flower is dead eventually. So what you have to do is you have to nourish the flower if you want to see the flower blooming at its best. So what you have to do, you have to put water, a little, every day. Not too much. Every day a little bit water, meaning nourishing every day, sharing some wisdom every day. Take it in small steps. And coming back to what I said in the beginning with worrying literally is an affirmation, right? The universe only understands, works and functions in vibration, frequency, energy. The universe, there is no brain to the universe that have this perceptual thought like humans. If this is going to happen, this is going to happen, and I need to do this in order to happen this, and so on. So if I constantly sit there and say, oh my God, I cannot sleep because classical situation, children are 15 years old, 14 nowadays, I don't know nowadays, but in my age it was 15, around that you would be allowed to go out, you know, and on a Saturday evening, on a Friday evening. And then I know stories from my mother, I know stories from other mother, that they would not sleep. They would not sleep. And then they would control if you are home at midnight or if you are home at 2 o'clock in the morning, whenever you agreed with them. And then, for example, I would come home on the time and then, oh, I worried so much about you. You know? Only later in my life, I responded to my mother, you know, you have to understand that the worries are already inside of you and what you are doing is projecting. But obviously my mother could not understand such words. She would not, you know, she would not know how to deal with such a pointer or with such an insight. She would answer, no, it's you that make me worrying, you know. It's the outside world that opposes something on me. And I, poor being, have to just take it. So it's you that make me worrying. So this is a very important thing, because if parents don't give their children a certain freedom. We have done another conversation recently where we were talking about manipulation versus living the life, then folding the path of life by surrendering. And this is exactly the topic here. If parents cannot surrender to life, they constantly want to control. And this control is something that over tens of thousands of years is some kind of mechanism of survival that the human species has developed ever more. And this mechanism, there is the root of it. And this mechanism has been always then taken from control groups in order to apply it on people's. And the very same thing, and here we go, as within, so without, as below, so above, and vice versa. If I control my children constantly, it's nothing else than the government controlling the matrix, the system controlling the people. So, that is where everything starts. It always starts in the small, it always starts in the family, it always starts with me. And if I let the children do things, because one thing is very clear, children that are not allowed to do things will be parents that are not capable of doing things. That's very clear. And we have to know that. So if we tell children constantly, you cannot do this, you cannot do this, you are not allowed to do there, to walk there, you will create by that an adult person that is literally incapable of own thinking. It is... If you look into society, there are very many fearful people. And if you look into their family structures, where they come from, it was always the oppressing father, could also be a mother, but in that case more the father, that had a very harsh regiment at home, you know? And then you can see this. You can see it, for example, in women when they stand like this. You know, normally you put your feet like this, you stand like this. But you can see in very many women, especially when they stand somewhere, like cutting something in a kitchen or standing on a bar or on a desk or something, on a counter, and they put the feet together like this. This is shame. I'm not allowed to do things. I make myself small. And it's very interesting. Always when I see these women, I have this film playing in me, how a dominant father at home was really like, you know, oppressing a harsh regiment on the kids. So parenting is not an easy thing. I have myself two children, a son and a daughter. They are adult now. And in retrospective, there are many things that I could have done much, much better. But here again, everything is perfect all the time. And it was the consciousness at the time. And you did what at the time you thought was the best. And the one thing that I, for example, wanted really to break in my family line was exactly this calling constantly. Like my mother, she would call me constantly even when I was 30 years old and I went on a business trip, she would call me and say, "Did you arrive well in the hotel? Is all okay with you?" Constantly. And that went on until I was like beginning of 40, and interestingly enough, my mother then had a stroke, which was quite severe at the time. It turned out that she did much better than the doctors predicted at the time, but it didn't take until that moment that she didn't do that anymore. There's something through that stroke in the brain, in that part of the brain where she had the stroke, that was obviously the center of that worrying. And after that, there was no worrying anymore. So at least she didn't call me anymore. Like she didn't, you know, it was not like, you know, are you doing good? Are you doing this? So, and I really put myself on my flags. I will not continue that with my children. I will not call my children continuously and say, "How are you? Are you doing good? Oh, you have been going there. Is everything good? Are you doing well?" Of course, I call my children and ask how they are. But that's, you know, every 2 weeks or something like this, right? And if they need something, they anyway call me. And from my own experience, I can only say, don't underestimate how much pressure you put on the shoulders of children by not being conscious about your own inner chaos, meaning your own worrying, your own fears, your own backpack that you have not started yet to unpack, and putting that whole load onto your children. And unfortunately, we see that happening in 8 out of 10 families.
It has a huge impact, right?
It has a massive impact, because what is the youngster of today? The youngster of today is the adult of tomorrow. The youngster of today is the politician of tomorrow. The youngster of today is the business manager of tomorrow. The youngster of today is the chaotic guy who runs around in the street with a gun and shoots at people. So something on that path from the birth until becoming that adult has happened. And parents are not aware enough how much damage they cause to their children. It is unbelievable. It is really unbelievable. And you see also families For example, if you look at how the classical, let's say, hippies, how they speak with their children and how they let their children play in the dirt and in the nature and everything, and how kind they treat their children, there is no such an authority, such a controlling. I'm the elder in the family, and you do what I say. And what happens automatically now? People would say, well, if I don't tell my children, you know, then they would just do what they want. And that's only partially true. That's only partially true. It is the same thing that humanity doesn't need governments. Humanity doesn't, of course, need military. Humanity does not need police. And then people say, this is a discussion I had with my discussion. It's a topic that I had with my mother maybe 20 years ago. And I said to her, we don't need police. And I said, are you crazy? You know, if we don't have police, everyone would just go around and steal and murder and so on. And it's exactly the opposite. The presence of the police triggers that. It's exactly the same thing that I explained before with the negative and positive affirmation. The fact that there is police creates a negative affirmation. That creates a negative energy. And that negative energy humans are born innately with conscience. To not steal, to not harm anyone, that's all innately. Only their upbringing brings them to a point where they forget that, right? They forget it. And then factors like I just explained before, the upbringing, the family, but then again also facts like that we have police, facts that young men need to do a military service, take a weapon, even if they don't go to a war, but what they are training for. They are training for to shoot eventually. What does that tell the brain? What does that tell the brain? It's not just fun to shoot a bullet onto a target. No? The brain is asking subconsciously why I'm doing this. And the answer is because eventually I can kill someone with that. And that leaves an impact. And so all these influences create people. And if we look into our nowadays leaders on the world, that one day they have been children, most of them are narcissistic. Most of them are psychopathic, psychopath narcissists. And all of them have one thing in common. They want to control and they want to rule. And they go, and most of them have no stop and no comma. They just walk like an elephant in a China store. They don't have compassion. Whether 1,000 people die there because we do that, or 10,000 or 20,000 or some million, you know. And again, we have to ask ourselves, these beings have been born with a full conscience, with the same innate knowing, and why did they choose to go that way? It was the upbringing. It was the upbringing. You can take each one of those leaders and check in their family history. And it doesn't matter of how much blue blood they are and from what kind of king's line they come, it is an absolute harsh upbringing. And what is missing most? What is missing most? The love. The love. Somebody who, a child, that received all love from the parents could never become a politician. Because it is not the framework. A person who radiates from the heart cannot be a politician, because politics, government itself, is built up on control, right? So you cannot even say, well, if more people with a heart opening would become politicians, the world would be better. No, no. The more people who have a heart opening, the more the people will understand that we don't need governments. We don't need these institutions.
Is worrying in a way equal or has a relation with control?
No. No and yes. Because worrying comes from an insecurity. And it's not equal to control, but control is an effect of it, let's say a side effect. People who are not secure about themselves, people who are who had a hard upbringing, who saw a lot of violence, let's say, they worry, right? And in order to have some what I call emotional survival tactics is to take that into a channel of controlling. So I need to control my life, right? And I need to know what's happening tomorrow and what's happening ahead. And you see what you would call, people are getting very mental in that. That is a side effect of trying to remedy the worrying and the fear that I carry within.
Now that we elaborated a bit on the causes of worrying and the definition of worrying, what will be your pointers that parents generally can do? And I think this could be adaptable to everyone's life because we all worry in a couple of situations for a more mindful approach to life. I know you mentioned many times in our conversation just surrender, and I know you mention all the time that love generally it's something that heal everything. Now, of course, many of us are not vulnerable anymore because of the insecurities that you mentioned. They are not, they are maybe afraid again to get hurt. So then it's very difficult for somebody that constantly live in past experiences to open their heart. So what will be the pointers that you will advise our listener to follow in order to have a more mindful approach?
Well, first of all, it has always to do with inquiry and self-reflection. You need to be at a certain stage of awakening, otherwise you are just like a blind steam train. You're just doing things completely unconsciously. What you are also can do is to ask yourself, if you are at that stage, you can ask yourself, did you like, but here again, you have to be on a certain stage of awakening to even, so that even that question dawns on you. But did you like what your parents did to you in terms of this worrying, in terms of this controlling, in terms of don't do this, be that, all the time, all these reglementations? Did you like that? And what can be a help for parents if they are so unconscious because they don't realize themselves anymore, could be if they would listen to their children. So if their children say, hey, mom, don't worry all the time, like this kind of reactions that children have, that could give a little awakening moment for the parents. Oh, what did I just do here? You know, was I over controlling? And in that way, I have to take things with ease. And I will realize as a parent, the more I take things with ease, and that's in other conversations we've been talking about so many times, that counts for all stages of life. The moment I surrender more to situations, I will learn that the outcome is good. The outcome is good. and the outcome is always as it's supposed to be. So meaning, if I give a little bit more freedom to my children, my children will be more open to me. They will communicate more. They will not hide things from me. And then you can go in an open conversation. By metaphorically hitting the children with my worries, that is really psychological terror that parents do on their children. And it took me a long, long time. I think I was around 28 that I joined for 2 years a tribe. What we formed 12 men, a man tribe, and we would meet every few months for an entire weekend with 3 mentors. And we would go through 7 different stages of the manhood, which one is the inner child, the release of the mother, for example, for man, very important to release that bond with the mother. And that helped me very much to really foster that kind of issue that I really had with my mother about this constantly worrying. I did understand that the worrying was coming not from me, it is her thing. However, it was still very heavy on me to constantly have that pressure.
Plus, as a kid, you not only that absorb everything in terms of lessons or situations or whatever, but also energies, because you are still in the genius part of you. As we all know, we are born genius. We are just the genius through society.
Absolutely. So the point here is that, as you just said, we are all born genius, and they absorb everything like a sponge. And not only that, children, they are so pristine, so virgin, that in their opinion, it starts to develop the idea that they do something wrong. So that has a very deep impact on children. Whenever parents are angry, whenever parents, and this worrying is a big part of it. Children, the smaller they are, they think they do something wrong, and all they want to do is to be loved by their parents. So they are constantly trying to please their parents for their own psychological, let's call it that way, shortcomings, right? And that forms a very, very, very deep impact in children, a very deep impact. And so this is very important that parents are very careful about that impact in children if you are shouting with children and if you are angry with children. Children will perceive that they are doing, that they are wrong. And if you are awake enough as a parent, you have to understand immediately that it is you that has a shortcoming here. And then you should go and apologize to your children. You can talk to children like adult people, don't worry. And that's very important. It's very important to also recognize your own shortcomings and then converse with your children about it. Parents always want to give that idea to children that everything is 100% perfect and everything is good, and which again comes from giving the children a strong castle with strong walls, right? The more you tell children, oh, the mom is not in a good mood, the mom is weak today, the mom is this, the more the children, that's the idea of the parents, the more the children start to feel insecure. And I would say it's the opposite. The more you show yourself, the more you show your deepest core and open your heart towards your children, with your feelings, with everything, the more your children will be open to you with their feelings and with what lies on their heart. This is this constant games of not saying the complete thing or even slightly lying between parents and children is back and forth. It's back and forth. It's not only one way.
Definitely, it's not a comfortable feeling. It's just what we, in our thoughts think is the best. You also mentioned that kids, you know, develop a belief of not being worth it anymore just because they parents give them the impression that they are doing something wrong.
Isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If a parent constantly or regularly, not say constantly, but regularly, tells me that what I'm doing is not good, what does that create in me? A complete insecurity. And that can go to a point where people, when they grow up, don't dare anymore to walk out the house. It can go to these stages. And the smaller stages are that people are constantly insecure and they cannot be strong from their center. And so they will meet life partners because energy attracting the same energy. They will meet life partners that then exactly are mirroring that, what they have lived at home in the family.
That's just because they need that mirror to heal the trauma.
Absolutely, because it is it needs to be penetrated very hard in order to break the stone open.
And there's everything comes with a bit of suffering, right? Otherwise you cannot grow.
Let's say everything comes with a bit of hardship. Suffering is by choice, right? Hardship, that can be pain, that can be sweat, that can be a depression, that can be many things, that doesn't automatically mean suffering. Suffering is then the human choice of what I take out from it. I can be depressed, I can be in a hardship, I cannot feel good. That doesn't automatically mean I need to suffer, right? Suffering is something, I always say suffering is like sand corns on the beaches of the world. There's so much there, you can choose to take as much as you want, right? If you come to a point to understand that the hardship that you are going through now, the depression that you are going through, that the pain that you are going through now, the fact that your partner has left you and so on, is only there because it's a remedy, it's a boost, it's like a turbo to accelerate you into the next stage of your life, you don't choose for suffering then. Suffering is then laying at home or staying at home and thinking, oh, you know, my life is not going on, and then you put yourself into that spiral, right? Many, many times in my life, I went through a deep hardship where I didn't, a lot of grief and pain and things like this. I always choose not to suffer. I always choose not to suffer from that. I choose to go through it and to push myself in a situation to say, okay, this is contraction now. Where is the point of expansion? I was always like closing my eyes and say, where is the point of expansion here? To see some positiveness in that situation that I am now. And there are so many sayings which are absolutely beautiful sayings and true, even if they are very simple. If one door closes, another door opens. And you always know that this other door is bigger and beautiful, and behind that other door, there is something waiting for you. That is, if we want to call it better, that you had lived before, that experience. Everything is for expansion and acceleration. So if a partner leaves you, you can go through grief. At a certain stage, you have to rewind your grief into the understanding that this was only an orchestrated universal happening in order to boost you into a next growing phase, And that next growing phase will be a step higher than the one before. And that can be in different outcomes, meaning you meet a new partner that you fit much better than the one before, or it means also that you come to an understanding and a peace that partnership at the moment is not the right thing. I perfectly can stay by myself, and I'm truly innately happy by myself without searching for more.
True. You mentioned before that also looking back, right, doing a retrospective while you give an education to your kids, right, you could done better, right? But in the end, I'm pondering that you also mentioned that universe doesn't do mistakes, meaning that all this was orchestrated in a way that you could learn from it and also mirror through this what is your next stage of growth.
Well, absolutely. From an absolute perspective, there is obviously no error. Everything is perfect always, right? And then there is the human perceptual thinking that says, well, I have done this with my children. I remember that I have been, you know, shouting with my son and we had an argument. And if I look to that situation, it doesn't feel good in my heart. This is our human emotional side, right? Where we said we would have, I would have, should have, could have reacted differently. And important is the knowing that it was, for the both of us, expansion at the end of the day. For the both of us, it was expansion.
The medicine that you need.
Absolutely, absolutely. If I look to my children, my son is 25 now, and he is having a life of its own, where I say, wow, for a 25-year-old to make this whole setup is really a great achievement, you know. In every part of his life, he is organizing himself really very fine, very clever, very intelligent. And so this also now coming to the emotional side of being a father tells me, well, obviously, at the long run, that upbringing that we gave our children has made them to very independent, non-sticky human adults, adult beings that are able to maneuver in this craziness of this world their way through without having big shortcomings or other things.
Absolutely. Very beautifully said, because you know, we are speaking about pointers, but I think the pointers are more in the direction of reflection of the self. If you can, in any situation of life, not only with your kids, speak with love, compassion, or step back for a moment, breathe and I would not like to say think, maybe feel what is your next step. Because in the end, everything is a learning, and everything, it happens in the moment as it should be. So not to contradict ourselves, but we should not have regrets on what was happening, just maybe deeper reflection on the self, because in the end it's for both of us spiritual growth expansion.
What definitely is important is the quality moments and amount of time that I spend with my children. And unfortunately, we see that from decade to decade, from generation to generation, that gets less. More and more, the government is taking care, the government, the matrix, the society is taking care of the upbringing of the children. I mean, look nowadays with the phones and the tablets. I mean, literally, and this is, I've seen that on a young little girl that was living with us for a certain time. The parents granted her, she was 4 to 5 years old, a tablet, and the girl was on the tablet all the time. And so I could literally see, while the father was coming home from work, he was sitting in front of the TV, the mother was cooking, and then the mother was on the phone, and the girl was the whole day on the tablet, a whole day when she came home from kindergarten, which is a full day kindergarten, she was on the tablet, and the moment the parents took the tablet away, it was impossible. That was a big, even during dinner or lunch or whatever, the girl would sit there with a tablet, and the tablet takes over education. There is so many subliminal messages in all these cartoons and in all these games that the children are playing that you cannot get out of the head anymore. So there is no quality, I mean, no, there is very little quality time that the parents give with their children, going to nature, being really out in the nature, explaining their children, being on a beach, being on a river, playing with this, with natural things like stones and obviously we must not be shocked as a society if at the end of the day we have only biorobots left, which anyway already 90% of our society are biorobots, completely biorobots. They cannot think for themselves anymore. There are situations where people have literally driven over other people because people were walking over the street. And then they said, well, you're not allowed to walk here over the street. So that the natural human instinct of I need to stop now because there is a human walking, that instinct that I have in this very moment is completely numbed down. I only go after rules, you know. And if you look in Western countries, especially here in the Netherlands, it's really coming to a point where humans themselves have no ability anymore to foster situations, to have an intuition about the situation. Everything is like, is it allowed? What does the government say to that? You know? But it's not anymore my human innate ability to see, can I walk there, can I go there, can I do this? It's shocking. It's really shocking. And this is exactly, and now we are talking about already people who are 30, 40 years old nowadays. So the damage started already with the parents in the 70s, right? 80s. Now imagine the most of the kids that we see today that have been literally raised by tablets. They have been raised by tablets and smartphones. I mean, beam yourself ahead 30 years. There must come a really huge impact. And we have been talking in other episodes, and you have also done interviews with other people talking about that, with other wisdom keepers, that there will be a massive shift on Earth where certain prophecy says that 75% of Earth life will need to transform. Otherwise, the species, the human species, is going really down, is really going down. It's really going down. And I'm really not a person in that wants to see the negative thing. I'm really positively minded. However, I have my eyes open and I see through things. And if I look into the society fabric nowadays, it's very tickling. You put a little bit of a fire, it explodes. A little bit. There is no calmness anymore. There is no wisdom. Look at old people nowadays. Look at old people nowadays. Look at old people 100 years ago. Old people 100 years ago, 200, 300 years, they had wisdom. Nowadays, there are very, 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 very little in a society. You see old people with 70, 80 years, gray, white hair, who have completely no wisdom.
The situation that you describe is exactly the part of the genius that we were just mentioning. Is there a way back?
Is there a way back? When I'm talking about these 70, 80-year-old people who have very, very little consciousness about the fabric of reality, for them there is no way back. I mean, this will just end naturally, see? And we have been also talking in other episodes that there is a huge amount of superconsciousness souls coming in now. And when I say huge amount, it is a huge amount, but however, it's in the lower percentage stage of the 100%. So we are talking about maybe something 1-3% at the moment of new incoming soul aggregates from 100% of the soul aggregates that are coming in. There will definitely be a pace. It has already started some 30 years ago, where this incoming of these souls will accelerate and is accelerating. So it will be more. We see maybe now 1% to 3% to 5% to 10% and more and more and more. And it needs only 11% to make that change. There will be definitely no change in a sense of a human being, right? If a human being is not on a seeking way on the life path until the age of 40, 45 maximum, if you don't see by then tendencies that you are interested in spirituality, then you are a soul that is just living a life of bodily experiences here, and you will end your life in this way here without the step of awakening, let alone enlightenment.
So there is maybe, do you have some pointers that could overcome worrying, that could overcome the traumas that we build during our childhood with an impact?
Well, everything has to do with the self-reflection. You have to be aware about your own traumas. If you are not aware about your own traumas and you live your life as it is just normal for you and you never reflect yourself, how you are reacting, or you don't connect the dots, meaning you are not able to connect the dots of my action creates this reaction because the reaction is a year away or the reaction is some weeks or months away and you are not able to connect the dots, it is very difficult. It is very difficult. You need to position yourself in an ambience where you are able to inquire and inquire ever deeper, and then you get to see some patterns of you, and that's mostly internal patterns of you, how you perceive the world. It's mostly about the patterns, how I perceive the world. And that will push small steps of awakening. That automatically will push small steps of awakening. And that comes from within. It's not that, oh, I have heard something in the outside. It is making myself aware about what are my traumatic impacts that I had, and being truthful. This is the most important thing. Many people, when they are adult, they are not truthful to them. They paint themselves, everything was okay, everything is good. And everything anyway is always good. But if I want to accelerate the next step, I need to be truthful to myself in order to see how I can overcome these patterns that I'm carrying with me. And these, especially not just patterns, but also these thought forms, these perceptions, this how I see the world, you know.
Very nice. Do you have any message to our listeners based on the topic we explored today together?
Yeah, the topic is about the worrying that is oppressed on children. And what I would like to say to parents is, look at your child, look at your child, and be mindful and aware that in one day you say to this child, I love you so much, and you say, that is everything that I have, and I would do everything for that child. And then be truthful on the next day and on the next moment, how this can change. And all of a sudden, you bring a lot of negative energy to that child by shouting, by being angry. That has nothing to do with that love that you expressed before. So question also your love. Love is a word. And so many parents love their children. But do they truly, unconditionally love them? To shout with children, to be angry with children, to even be violent with children, whether it's psychological violence or even physical violence, has nothing to do with love. You cannot on the next day say, I love you so much. You have to question yourself. You have to question yourself. And when you are at that point, see the child as the most precious thing, as the most sacred thing that the universe has given into your hands. And if you want to change the world, just think what you can do with your child, so in order that this child can become the leader from tomorrow. And when I say leader, I don't mean governmental leader or business leader. I mean a leader with an open heart.
Thank you very much, Bear, for being here with us. It was a real pleasure.
Very welcome. Thank you very much.
We hope this conversation had shed light on the sources of parental anxiety and provided some food for thought on fostering a more supportive and less burdensome environment for our children. Thank you for tuning in. And remember, understanding where our worries come from is the first step towards easing them. Until next time, take care.
Thank you for joining us on this enlightening journey with another voice of the One Mind. We thank you for your support, and to ensure that you never miss a drop of this wisdom nectar, click subscribe and stay connected with us on the onemind.org. Until next time, may your path be illuminated with profound insights and growth.